Okay, here we are. Can you still hear me?
I can hear you. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can. Okay, great. So welcome, everyone, to the call. My name is Tanisha Thompson, and I'm the founder of BookSavvyMedia.com and the online book publicity blueprint workshop. And tonight we have an amazing speaker, Stephanie Gunning, and she's going to speak about something I know you all are very interested in knowing about, and that's how to write really amazing book proposals that you know, get editors instantly interested in handing you over a contract and handing you over money. Stephanie, I have a couple of housekeeping things that I want to tell you guys. Number one, the first is try to be really present during this call. I know that we're very busy multitasking and we're checking email and we're doing something over here, and even when you're on the webcast, you're doing like three different things. But it's more beneficial when you're really paying attention to what's going to be said to you tonight. So that's the first thing. The second is to promise yourself to get at least to write down for yourself at least three action steps that you're gonna get from listening to this call. I know that we are inundated with teleseminars today. Everybody is having a teleseminar. You can find one every night of the week. But if you do not make a plan for yourself to use the information, then you'll never use it, and it'll just be another teleseminar. And lastly, I want to say thank you to everyone who's been sending in your questions from the survey, really just telling me, you know, what your most frustrating problems that you're having around promoting and marketing your books. And it's really easy to let me know what problems you're having. Just send me an email directly at Tanisha@BookSavvyMedia.com, so you don't have to go through a whole lot of, you know, rigmarole to let me know what it is that you're struggling with right now. Just send me an email and I'll get it directly, and I'm going to address it in the future on a Q&A teleseminar. Okay, so let's get to Stephanie. And where are my cheat sheets? Here's my cheat sheet. Okay. Over the past 22 years, Stephanie Gunning has worn many different hats in the publishing industry. She's been the acquisition editor for two major publishing companies, that's HarperCollins and Batten Doubleday at Dell, where she was a senior editor tasked with setting up a health new age list. She's also been a consultant to literary agents on the quality of their submission materials. She's been a freelance editor hired by publishing companies, a freelance book doctor, which many of you need for authors and contracts. And I emphasize book doctors because I think it's such an important skill to have and such an important thing to outsource and get done for your book. She's also been a consultant, editor, and ghostwriter for successful independent publishers, a marketing consultant to published authors. She's an information marketer, product producer of audio, digital books, and a forthcoming anthology called Audacious Creativity, which I'm really looking forward to because I love books about how to jumpstart your creativity. And Stephanie is also the creator of the extremely useful audio program, 7 Quick and Easy Steps to Write and Sell Your First Book Proposal, which is why I invited her here tonight to share her expertise on the call. And one of the things that I'm trying to do with Book Savvy Media is really bring you guys the experts that you need to get your books off the ground and making money. You know, no one spends all their time writing a book just so that it can sit on the shelf and grow dust. And so someone like Stephanie is what you really need to get your ideas into a proposal format so that when you approach editors and when you approach literary agents, they're not, you know, closing the door in your face or they're just not responding, that you're getting a really good response. So without further ado, Stephanie Gunning. Welcome.
Well, yay. Thank you so much for inviting me. I know how valuable what you do for authors is, And when we met recently, I was very impressed with what you told me about your virtual tour course that's coming up. And I am going to highly recommend it to my own clients. So it's very nice to be here and share whatever I can with other writers, particularly writers who are, you know, a little bit further, you know, at the beginning than I am at present. It took me about 20 years to figure out how to get where I am. And I'm really proud of my work with some best-selling authors, but I'm also very proud of my work with some mid-list authors who aren't people that sell hundreds of thousands of books, but some of my favorite books, the ones that have been done by independent authors who set up their own publishing companies, including some who work with print-on-demand services. So, you know, when we're talking, I'm hearing my call waiting, which I should have muted. When, because of my background, having been inside a publishing house, being a writer of my own books, and also consulting people on how to write book proposals, I've been on every side of the system, and I put out a weekly newsletter with tips for all those phases of publishing. And there's a ton of free reports on my website, which is just my name, www.stephaniegunning.com. And if you go to the bottom of the landing page, there's a button that says free stuff. You can go right there and get it. Mm-hmm. And Tanisha, is, if you're going to send her an email after the call, you can also include these links for them, plus give them any details. I'm going to make a special offer for them at the end of the call. But look, I know that the people on this call are consultants and small business owners and speakers, and a lot of them have already written books that they're self-publishing. So I just want to reiterate what we already know, which is that having a book is an instant credential. It shows you off as an expert. It's a one-stop source for your clients and your customers to have all their most frequent questions answered. Mm-hmm. It's part of a package that you can send to people when you want to book a speech, so it gives them an opportunity to sample you and what you know and do. It's a back-of-the-room sales item, and it's a chance to upsell people who hear you, so you get a little more income that way. And I've also found out that when people sit down to write a book and they really gather their thoughts in their proposal, their teaching gets better, their speaking gets better, they get a lot clearer about their business strategies. Everything sort of falls into the right order. So this is an incredibly valuable process. And I'm sure that you teach people that whatever goes into a book is really pure information, and you can take that information and you can repackage it in a lot of different ways.
So you
can make even more money off of that, because once you have a really good, solid book and it matches your business, then you can make an audio, you can make a free report, you can make some articles.
So it's
incredibly valuable.
Well, I want to make a little aside. I was very happy to meet you. We met at the David Nagel event in Baltimore, and I told my list that I was going, and I Twittered about it, and I told everybody on Facebook. And I remember one of the things that I was saying to myself, kind of in the back of my mind, I started writing my book, which is almost finished. I need to do some interviews for it. But one of the things that I was saying was, you know, although I've been in publishing for years and I know what the process is, I really wish I could just meet someone to kind of help me get my ideas together. And I think it was your sister or your sister-in-law who introduced me to you, like within a couple of hours of us being at that event. And I thought, wow, that's really cool.
That was probably my cousin Gretchen.
Okay.
Who was standing next to me,
Yeah, you know, and so I was excited about that because, one, I had already known about you. And I had been on an earlier teleseminar that you had done that was really great. And so I, you know, one of my reasons for wanting to do these calls is definitely for my list, for my clients, for my readers, but it's also, Alex Mavrosian has this great saying, selfish benevolence. You know, it's you know, it's selfishly for me, but it's benevolently for everyone else. You know, so this helps me as much as it helps, the people who are on the call. Like I said, I'm working on a book, and after years of being in publishing and working with authors, you know, my main thing with authors is that I want them to make money because I never liked the idea of a starving author. And so after years of doing this, I said to myself, I need a book. And so, you know, this is a great call, and this is really timely for everyone who's on the call, even if you're already, even if you're already self-published or if you're already thinking about being self-published. So let's get into the, is it all right? Do you want to say anything else, or do you want to get into the content?
No, I just wanted to say I don't believe in starving authors either. And I also look at book writing and writing in general as a career. I don't. Some people only want to write one book,
right.
But when you're really building a marketing platform, what usually happens is you write more than one. So,
and tell everyone, I mean, you have 18 books. Did you
I'm in the middle of writing my 18th book now, and a couple of them haven't hit the shelves yet.
Mm-hmm.
I think there are 15 or 16 that are already out in stores. And I think only out of all those books, only one has gone out of print so far. Now, I should say I'm a ghostwriter, so half the time my name is on the cover and half the time my name isn't on the cover. So
sometimes
people don't know that I wrote the book, but I know.
Right, yeah, no, definitely, and it does mean that you are prolific and very qualified to be talking on this subject. So let's get into the content.
Great.
The first question I have, and everyone, you can follow the questions that I have here on your note sheet. It's at booksavvymedia.com/note sheet, and it's a document, so it won't be a PDF. It'll be a document that you're going to be opening and that you can follow along with us. I also sent it out in PDF by email this afternoon. So the first question is, how hard is it to find a publisher these days?
Okay. I won't kid you. It can be hard. Publishers really expect you to have a great marketing platform and promotion plan together already when you come to them. It's not that they're lazy. It's that they know that as many people as know you or get to hear you on the radio or see you on TV or read an article of yours, that's how many book buyers there are going to be. So if you have no platform when you go to them, unless you have the type of book idea that's like an automatic yes for a consumer, like, you know, it solves a need that's very clearly defined, like, you know, how to renovate your kitchen, you know, you're going to choose among the five books on that title, you know. So that's one of the main things you have to put together to get a good proposal. And you cannot wait to do this work until you've found a publisher, which is the temptation. You need to do this in order to get a publisher.
Mm-hmm. And you said something that a lot of people, I know what you're talking about instantly, but a lot of people may not know when you say, you know, if you don't already have a platform.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, being a publicist, I know what that means, but if you can give them just like 2 seconds of what that means.
Absolutely. Imagine that you're going swimming in a swimming pool and you're going to take a dive off the diving board into the pool. The diving board is your platform.
Right,
it's where everything begins from. It's the foundation of a good house that you're going to put up.
Right, right. So how does a book proposal fit into this? Why do we need one? What does it do for the author? And
well,
what does it do for the publisher?
Okay. A proposal is a business plan for the publishing experience that you intend to have. It is your business card to introduce your book project and yourself to literary agents and to the editors at publishing companies. It's a tool that is used by a publishing company to evaluate whether or not your book is a business project that they want to invest their financial resources in and their time and their human energy in. And in my experience, because a lot of authors don't understand what goes on inside the publishing house, they don't actually they don't feel excited about writing their proposals. They see it as like this real onerous task that's a real pain and something to get through. And I really invite everybody who's on this call to reframe his or her thinking about this and really to see that this puts you in the driver's seat. You are looking for a great business partner and a publisher, and you want to be in business with like-minded organizations. And so what you may or may not know is that the book proposal is also used every step of the way along in the publishing your book after the publisher has already acquired your book for its list. And so the different pieces of the proposal are pulled apart, handed around, and used as the basis of various kinds of in-house communication about your book. And so they use it for, you know, to prepare their catalog, to figure out how to design the cover, how to plan the publicity campaign, the marketing efforts, anything that they're going to do in-house. Plus, it's like a blueprint for writing the book. So it's almost half of the work that you're going to have to do. It's your thinking work. And so if you've already written the book and self-published it, writing a proposal about it is actually an opportunity to revisit the structure of your book from everything that you've learned from, you know, trying to sell copies of your book on your own without a publisher, and from all the feedback you've received, which is feedback is so valuable. And it's also just a great opportunity to make a fantastic sales plan for yourself. You know, the clearer a plan that you have, the easier your life is going to be going forward.
Definitely, definitely. And I've seen when I was working at an agency, and I was a junior agent for an agency here in New York City, the power of what a really good book proposal would, what it would do for an author. You know, instantly it would just give them so many resources that they were able to really craft it well, and you're going to teach us how to do that tonight, and get it into the hands of someone who should be reading it. And once it's bought and accepted and it's kind of gone through that process, the resources that are then given to that author is usually, you know, it's such a load off their mind for them, even if they're a self-published author coming into the process.
I so agree. And you know what? I just want to interject one thing, which is I'm going to do my best to give you as much information as I can during the remainder of this hour. There is a lot of detail and a lot of content that I can't put into that time, so I'm giving you a framework.
Right.
And, you know, this is sort of an abbreviated version of what I do in my longer proposal course. Yeah.
Definitely, definitely. So let's talk about the five basic questions that need to be answered in a book proposal, because, like you said earlier, it is a blueprint. So it isn't everything that's going to be in the book, but it's a guide. It's you know, the business plan for the publisher and also for the author. So what are the five basic questions?
Okay, these are the questions you need to answer for yourself. This is not what actually goes on a piece of paper that gets put into the document, but it will show up in different places in the document. This is part of your reflective thinking. I'm a big fan of sitting and thinking before you try to do anything, because writing flows from thinking.
So
the other thing I want to say is this is about a sellable book proposal, one that people will actually buy. So you need to clearly know the answer to these questions. What is this book about? That's the first question. Is it fiction or nonfiction? If it's fiction, what category does it go in? Is it literary fiction? Is it a thriller? Is it a mystery? Is it chick literature? What is it? If it's nonfiction, what category is it going to be in? Where on the shelf in Barnes & Noble am I going to find it? What does the label say on that shelf? That's what is this book about? The second question is, why does a publisher need it? Now, need is a very interesting verb in a way, because if a publisher already has a similar book on their list, then the answer will be they don't need it. But if they have a bunch of books that are similar, but there's a gap, they might actually be looking for something like your book to complete and round out a particular category of books on their list. So, for instance, if you had a, let's say it was a health list, and they had one book on the heart, one book on the liver, one book on the kidney, but they didn't have one on the stomach. I don't know why they'd want that. You know, and you wanted to write a book about the stomach, then they would need your book. You know,
right.
So you don't really know what's going on inside a specific publishing house. They may have already signed something up, and you don't know because it's not out yet. But so when we say, why does a publisher need this? Well, is there something that's new in your book? Is there something special about it? And that special thing is possibly unique to the subject, and it's possibly unique to you. But it could be something. It could just be that a category is opening up, and it's the curiosity of the public right now is just very enormous. You know, like there were all the Law of Attraction books that got published after The Secret, and there seems to be no end of them. There's just always another one. Yeah.
Or all of the Barack Obama books that are coming out now.
Exactly.
As in Barnes and Noble, the other day I saw 4 Barack Obama books, and I was like, "Wow, you know, I mean, this is like when George Bush became president, and all the books came out about him." So that, you know, it's really kind of, I guess what you're saying is it's really looking at a situation, looking at your expertise or whatever you're going to write about, and kind of figuring out what's your take on it.
That's right. And every publisher has a need for that kind of book, because one publishing company may publish the definitive guide, the authorized guide, but that doesn't mean that the other ones aren't looking to make money off of the same topic. So
right.
they're hungry for that. That's something they know that they can sell. So why, this is the third question, why are you the right person to write this book? Why are you the match for that idea? And that's something that may come uniquely out of your business. It may come out of your interests or your life experiences. A lot of people will undergo something like a couple of years ago, a woman I know said, "Oh, my husband's identity was stolen." And this was before it became an epidemic. And she said, "I think I'm going to write a book about that." And I said, "You better write that book fast, because that idea is going to get done." She never did it. And now there have been all these other books that came out. So she would have been right for that, because it happened to her family, and she had gone through all the steps of rectifying the problem, and she knew what to do, and there was no other book on the subject.
Right.
So number 4, by the way, all these things blend together. Your book has a unique story to it. So number 4 is, why is now the time to publish this book? And what you need to give is evidence. So if it's a Barack Obama book, the evidence is this guy's running for president, and the presidential election is in November, and the interest, you know, is just going to peak and peak and peak. And if he's elected, then it will continue. Or it could be, you know, a couple of years ago there was a big backlash against menopausal women taking hormones. And all of a sudden, everybody wanted a book about that.
Right.
And it was very timely, because new research had been released. So literally something new had come into the world, and nobody had a handle on it yet. So everybody needed guidance. So that was very timely. And you give as much evidence as you can. You support it in the way that if you were in college and writing a paper, you would support it with research, articles, statistics. Everything needs to be true. It could be another book that hit the New York Times bestseller list, and that's a model that you can see your book adhering to. Because publishers think in terms of book success.
Right.
But they want to be able to get you good press coverage, you know.
Right.
And so then the fifth one is who makes up the target audience for your proposed book and why will they find it appealing? And this is actually probably the beginning of all the efforts that I would make to actually write the book.
Yeah, I was going to say that. Yeah, definitely. I agree with that. That's my favorite question. Anyone comes to me, I always start at, well, who's the target market? Who are we talking about?
Right. Because if you don't know that, you don't know how to formulate what you're doing.
Yeah.
You know, you want to, you know, as a writer, I want always to speak in language that's the same language that my reader uses in their own lives, or language that they'll find amusing, you know, or engaging in some way. If it's a professional book, I want to use professional terminology. If it's, you know, if it was for 12-year-olds, I'd want to use their slang, maybe. You know, it's you want to find the natural structure that appeals to the target market, and that's the it's maybe the trickiest thing, because there's a tendency, and I'll talk more about this because this is, it's going to take you a little while to believe me, but there's a tendency to say more is better.
Mm-hmm.
And so to put in the proposal, I'm for everybody. But it's really hard to market to everybody in the world. You know, so I really try to find a specific, as narrow as possible, as clearly defined market demographic as I possibly can, and penetrate that market really, really deeply.
Okay, great. So I have a question. It's actually not on the note sheet, but I just thought about it as you were talking. Is there a difference between, and I know that I have fiction authors on this call, the difference between the fiction proposal and the nonfiction book proposal?
Yeah, in a way, a fiction proposal is going to be, I think, a shorter. Yeah, because mainly your writing is going to do a lot of the work for you.
Right. I just wanted to make that distinction. And it flows into the next question, which is, what are the elements in the format of a book proposal?
Okay, this is the nitty-gritty. Well, the biggest aspect of writing a book proposal quickly, I want to say this before I get into it, is to sit and reflect really, really carefully on the purpose of the elements of the plan. Your plan tells a story, so the elements of your book proposal all need to be aligned with that same story. It all has to match up. Mm-hmm. So one of the things I just want to encourage you, this is sort of my pet theme of the moment, I want you to get really, really curious, and I want you to understand that daydreaming and cogitating, which is what I call doing, asking myself a lot of questions, sitting on my couch and just thinking reflectively about my subject matter, this will all factor into the story that you begin to spin about your book project. And that story is going to be a very inner-directed story that details your authority and your command of your subject matter. So what you're going to do in the proposal with all the elements I'm about to tell you about is you're showing the publishers that you have really thought through this project very carefully, and you know how to make it successful, and you know why it stands a good chance of success. And so the very first page after the cover sheet, which has your title and name on it and your address and contact information, is something called an overview. And if you're familiar with writing book plan, business plans, excuse me, it would be the same thing as an executive summary. And basically, this is a one- or a two-page mission statement. It is an introduction to the whole book proposal, And by that, I mean that it encapsulates a little bit of all of the other elements of the proposal. And if your editor, who was really interested in buying your book, had to go to their boss to ask for money, and they just care, you know, they had like 2 minutes to talk about your book in a meeting, which is, you know, could be a little bit longer, but probably not that much. if they had this one piece of paper in front of them, they would know all the key points that would be highlighted on there. And so when I'm writing a book proposal, I write a draft of this before I write the rest of it. But then after I've written the rest of it, I go back and I rewrite it.
Okay, great.
Yeah. And actually, here's the thing. Tanisha will know this. The main thing that you want to get across in your overview is the hook.
You know, I was laughing. I'm sitting here with a little smile on my face because I'm like, you know, should I say that? No, I'm not going to say that. So I'm glad you said it.
No, and the hook means like, you know, as if you were fishing, you know, and you tossed your hook in the water. It's that thing about your book that's going to reel that person in. And in terms of the overview and the rest of the proposal, because this is the story that you're making about this hook and this book, this is the book's reason for being. You'll hear it called by other names sometimes. Some people will say this is the promise of the book. A lot, particularly with nonfiction books, you are promising to deliver a certain kind of information, and maybe that is the problem it will solve, or maybe it's the good thing that you'll create. Like, a lot of books are written so that people can get rich or get happy or find a mate or go on a good vacation.
But this is really good, because when you get to the point of doing your promotion, of doing your marketing, so much of it is built around that hook.
That's right. And you know, it's very key that you understand where you fit into the marketplace, because when you walk into Barnes & Noble, there's, I don't know how many, hundreds of thousands of books in there, it seems, and your book has to stand out really clearly, like, what's it for, you know? And with fiction, actually, there's a promise, too. Some people promise that this will, you know, break your heart open. Some people promise that this is page-turner, scary, thriller, sexy, you know, there's a promise.
Yeah, definitely.
And you know, books, even fiction is probably the type of manuscript or project that gets most argued about in a publishing house. Even a really good book, when it goes to an editorial meeting, you know, all the editors get around the table once a week, and half of the people who read it will love it and half will hate it, you know.
Will hate it.
Yeah, and but it's just opinion.
Yeah, definitely. So what's the next thing that they need to have?
Okay, this is your author biography. And even if, you know, there's always this debate, should the proposal be written in the first person, the I, this voice, or should it be written in the third person, she did that voice? I believe that the author biography, even if the proposal has been written in the first-person voice, this piece needs to be in the third person, because this is closest to like a fact sheet about your life. It's not a fanciful document. This is like the details about, you know, what you do for a living, where you live, how you were educated. This is the part where you connect who you are to this story of the book. So you don't want to put in any irrelevant data, like, you know, unless you're, you know, if you have knitting as your hobby, but your book is about military history, you don't talk about knitting. You know, you need to be selective. Right. But if you have an awful lot of information, you can literally, like, here's a really good tip, you can break it into chunks in categories. So one paragraph will just be about your radio appearances, one TV, one magazines, you know. It can be the organizations that you are a member of. And that shows your authority and also how tapped in you are to the groups of people that you want to market to. So, you know, you get all that. And it's usually a page long. And Now, if your book is really, really closely allied with your business and most of your marketing opportunities are going to be through your business, then you might write a mini bio of your business too.
Right.
You know,
yeah.
As an organization.
I agree with that.
So,
number three.
The marketing plan. And this is how I think about it. This is your strategic positioning plan.
Mm-hmm.
Who am I going to reach?
That.
Yep. Who am I going to reach, and why are they going to be receptive to this book? This is where you really detail who this target audience is, and you give a lot of numbers and facts and figures. And you want to paint a really clear picture of the intended consumer. And until and unless you really define your specific reader carefully and clearly, you are absolutely going to flounder in writing your book proposal because everything today, just to repeat myself, is niche marketing.
Yeah. I would say in this part to just be really clear and say who your target market is.
Mm-hmm.
Just, you know, flat out, you know, women ages 30 to 50, you know, they drive this type of car, they have these types of jobs, they make this much money, they have children, they don't have children, they hang out here, they don't hang out here. This is why they're going to be interested in this. You know, just be as specific as you possibly can for, you know, nonfiction, for fiction. I've seen fiction authors do this version, but do it for a novel, and I always think it's very smart because it lets the publisher know that you're thinking about how you're going to sell the book, even as a fiction author. And so, you know, talk about the different venues that you can sell your book in and how you're going to get to your, you know, still I think with many fiction novels, especially if you're doing the genre novel, you still have a target market that you have to get to. How are you going to get to them?
Well, you know, that's what I actually call a promotion plan. That's a little bit different. See, actually, I shouldn't call it a marketing plan. It's really a marketing sometimes I call it a target market, target audience, intended audience.
Mm-hmm.
You know, for me, and actually these two pieces sometimes get combined. For me, the promotion plan is the tactical plan. I think of it like a military operation. One is strategy. I'm going to reach all, you know, doctors, all pediatricians need this book, you know, and why? Because there, you know, there's been a change in the law about inoculation and they need this information. I'm making this up.
Right.
Your tactical plan is, well, I happen to know that all those pediatricians hang out at the same conferences. I happen to know they read these specific publications. I'm a member of the organization that they're a member of. And so I'm allowed to go and talk to them. I'm allowed to send them letters. So that, you know, these are the venues I can go into, as you were just saying, Tanisha, and it sort of boils down also to how are you in a relationship with your reader? If you are drawing circles of your world and their world, where's the intersection? And so I know I'm just going to repeat things that you probably already teach people, but just for the sake of it, I'm just going to give you a long list of all the things that I've seen lately that people do.
No, it's good. It's better to hear it more than once.
Yeah. I believe every author needs a website. It can be very simple, but you need a website. Some authors blog. If you don't know about blogging, you can get a free blog site on blogspot.com, and you can just start playing around with it. It's just where people put their opinions down, and you can be an opinion maker, and you can just kind of keep that fresh, show your activity. You can put, by the way, a lot of the strategies that authors pursue on their own do happen virtually over the Internet. Just because it's a very inexpensive way to do it, but also because people literally invite you into their inboxes. And once they do, you can really have a relationship with them. So one of the things that people do is they write articles that are put on databases online or on topical sites, you know, that are directed mm-hmm. to the target audience. Then you can also
No, I was just saying all the students who took the online book publicity workshop with me, I think it was about 2 months ago, they got a whole heap of stuff about where they could start promoting themselves online. And so, you know, what you're saying, it's always good to hear this more than once because I think there's so much that you can do, you start to forget.
Right. Well, you know, what I always say to people, it's like going to a restaurant. You have a menu, but you're not going to eat everything on the menu unless you're very, very hungry.
We hope.
So the other thing you can do is you can literally publish articles in hard copy magazines, you know, real world, not virtual world.
Right,
you can,
right.
I think having a column is even better if you can wrangle it. And do that in any publication that you can do it in, because the more you build your reputation, the more you can upgrade, you know. But if you're not doing anything yet, you need to start. And so start wherever you are and just do what you can. So I believe that authors need to write newsletters. It can either be online, sent from your website, or you can literally mail it to people if you have their addresses. You can do teleseminars like this one, and sometimes they're free and sometimes they're paid. And that can be another way to repurpose the content in your book is to charge some money for it. Or it's just another way to introduce people to your material. You do it for free, and then, you know, if they're interested, you know, they might go on from there. I believe that authors should have an electronic press kit, and this would be a piece of
Definitely.
Your website.
Definitely.
And this is particularly important for speakers or for people whose books are newsworthy, because if imagine that I'm a reporter and it's 1 a.m. and I'm on a deadline for tomorrow, and suddenly I realize I have a blank column in my paper, I have 2 inches of white space, and I want something. If you've already provided me with that material and your headshot and your bio, and what I may not even need to call you. I can just slot mm-hmm. it in there. If I can go online and grab it, you're saving me a lot of trouble. Now, you may still want to do a traditional packet, you know, media packet, which actually has a real photograph in it and Q&A and things printed on paper and hand
right,
that to people
right.
at certain times, because not everybody wants electronic stuff, and sometimes
right.
they're right in front of you and you just want to go through it with them.
I just spoke with one of my authors. He's putting his press kit on a CD.
Cool.
So he's just handing it to people at different events, and he's getting really good feedback on that. So that's something everyone on the call might want to think about. But I want to move on through the rest of the steps, because it's getting a little, you know, a little late, and I want to get everything in.
Okay, so let me just give one last thing that people can do, because I know you'll teach them, but video. I think video is key.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, and it's really easy to do now. You can buy these little things called a flip cam. It goes right, it's a digital filmmaker. It goes right into your computer like a little memory stick. Okay, so that was number four. Number five is the analysis of your competition. Which I think of competition as sort of like an enemy word. I like to think of this in a friendlier way. I call this comparable books. And a lot of people have trouble with this because mm-hmm. they go to the bookstore and they see a lot of books and they think those books are like their books. But usually if you start asking questions, is this really like my book? You discover that it's not. So once you've defined your hook, what your book promises to deliver, your competition really is only another book that delivers the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
The rest of the time, the books that you need to put there are just to showcase that there is literally a tracking system in place that shows that other people who've attempted this particular publishing trajectory have been successful. So you want to pick maybe 3 to 5 books that have, A, sold well, 2, share the same intention as your book, 3, they should be recent, I wouldn't go back any further than 5 years, 4, they illustrate your key points that you're making in your proposal and support your argument about your book and what makes it marketable. So that last one is maybe the tricky one, but think about it this way. If you're saying that a majority of college students put on 10 pounds when they start eating in the dining hall because there's so much food available and they've never, you know, had the option before. and that you know the exact way to help them navigate that or whatever. You want to show that, you know, first of all, that college students read books or that their family members buy books for them or that this kind of advice is very practical and usable under the conditions of their lifestyle, let's say. I'm making this up. Mm-hmm. So if you find that there's no direct competition, then yay, you're very lucky. And you can say so. You can say there is no direct competition. But then just give a few titles that show a foundation for your success. Like, you know, this is selling really well, and so people who've read that, wanting another book like that, will want my book.
Right, right.
Yeah.
Now, I've seen authors handle this really well. And, you know, like you're saying, they'll say, well, you know, this book is selling really well and it covers some things that are similar, but, you know, they're missing this piece. And my book really, you know, goes into that piece and talks about it extensively. And so, and that's why it's a good comparable book. And so you're not positioning it as a book in competition with you, you're now putting your proposal within that same category of a really good selling book.
Yeah, and you know, you can look at like 2 books by the same best-selling author. The first book is like an overview, and then the second book is like one of those chapters blown up into a whole book. So
yeah,
if there's a
yeah.
best-selling book out there, go look at the different chapters. See if one of them lights you up and has enough content for an entire book and pitch it. You know,
awesome.
I think you have to be very curious, make success your role model,
mm-hmm.
study, excuse me, what successful people do, and then adapt it for your own purposes and your own content. So I just want to keep moving forward. So table of content.
No, but that's a great piece to say to everyone about modeling success. So yeah, table of contents.
Yeah. This should look, it's just a 1-page document. Well, unless your table of contents is very long. It should look exactly like the table of contents in the printed book that you imagine, except don't have any page numbers. And when an editor takes a single glance at it, they should be able to see the entire story of your book on the page. So they'll see the structure and the format. They'll
mm-hmm.
see the logic that connects all the chapters together. And they'll even see the voice that you write in, because if your table of contents is funny, they're going to expect the rest of the book to be funny. If it's
right.
literary and evocative and poetic and spiritual, they're going to expect your book to be literary, evocative, poetic, and spiritual. And they want to see the comprehensiveness. So, you know, they're going to look at it in a nutshell. Is there a missing piece? You know,
right.
And so it just sets the tone. And then your chapter summaries. This is probably the piece that takes the longest in everybody's book. It is sort of an expanded table of contents. This is the blueprint for writing your book, and
mm-hmm.
it's the a very brief explanation of the contents of each chapter. It's not a... it's not a fictional document. It's not a. Unless you're extremely gifted at short pithy, exciting things. Just be very direct. And I prefer simple to flamboyant, because flamboyant is usually disguised for I don't know what I'm talking about. So you just want a couple of paragraphs with some bullet points that illuminate the subsections and explain why that chapter is relevant to the whole book, you know. The format of your book is very important. So this part of the proposal is the most editorial element of the proposal. Your book needs to make sense.
Okay.
And then when you have all those pieces together, you're also going to be giving some sample chapters. If you're writing your first novel, you're going to have to write the whole thing and hand it to them. I'm jumping ahead, but I just have to say that if your sample material does not match your summary of the chapter, they're going to see that you cannot deliver what you propose to deliver. But if they do match up very clearly, they're going to believe that you have the ability to match other parts.
So that goes into the next question. Do you have to write the entire manuscript before, do you have to write the entire manuscript to sell it? Or are you doing the part that, you know, that you just went through, and then you're also writing three sample chapters? So maybe you've done some preliminary interviews and research, and you've compiled them into these three chapters.
You know,
but you haven't written the entire thing.
Three is a lot. That's a lot.
I
think people should write at least the introduction. And by the way, when you deliver your manuscript, some of these pieces may change. If you write a sample of the chapter that's not chapter one, somehow there can be no concept in that chapter that's not explained, even though you know when you write the actual book you're going to put that information in chapter one. For now, you need to add it into chapter six. What you're trying to do is you're trying to give them a little flavor of how you're going to handle all the formats of your book. So if it's a cookbook, they need to see a recipe. If it has exercises and artwork, they need to see exercises and artwork. That kind of thing. So you don't want to write the whole book because you don't want to make extra work for yourself.
Right.
But, you know, every acquisitions editor I ever met lived and died by one rule, which is if I don't see it on the page, I'm not going to see it in the finished book.
Okay.
So
at least your introduction and at least like a first chapter.
At least, I would do the introduction, the first chapter, and then if there's some weird element that in part two is different than it is in chapter one, I would give at least a piece. You could sometimes give partial chapters just to show those elements.
Right.
Yeah. For a novel, I think that, and maybe for a memoir too. Do the whole thing. Yeah.
You have to have the whole thing written. I experienced that for years.
Yeah, the reason for this is that the publisher, when you deliver the manuscript, they get to, before they pay you the second part of your advance, they decide whether it's acceptable or not. And if it's not acceptable, meaning it's not what they thought they were buying, they could reject you.
Yeah.
Rejection
definitely.
Is horrible.
It is. It's horrible, and that's when you pray that you have a really good literary agent who can talk them out of it.
Well, no, what usually happens is you get a big pile of notes from the in-house editor, and you do the notes, and then they accept it.
Right.
Yeah, that's the editing process. That's what happens.
So what makes a proposal? So we've gone through all of that. They now know how many, what's in the proposal, what the format is. They know what they need to send as far as the introductory chapter. What makes the proposal kick butt? I like saying it. Do you know that I like saying it?
I know. I like saying that too. Okay, what makes the proposal kick butt is if you really have a strong promotional plan. And these are real things that you're really going to do. And get creative. Enjoy yourself. You know, I wish everybody would enjoy themselves when they're writing a book proposal. People don't take it on with the passion that it deserves.
No,
you're going to be doing this for 3 years. Do what you love, you know?
Yeah.
Figure out, you know, why you want to be an author. Is it because you're a speaker? Well, then, you know, set up a lot of speaking engagements. You know, this is the place to plan it out, but it has to be real. It has to be true.
Mm-hmm.
Then the next thing, and actually I know Tanisha can help you with that, so I'm not going to go long, long, long on that, but having endorsements from the right people.
Oh, so important.
This, to me, is very important. Now, just having endorsements from anybody or even testimonials from your client is not the same as having an endorsement from a best-selling author or from
mm-hmm.
a thought leader or from somebody who's incredibly successful and impressively so, or somebody who's like the head of an organization that's one of your target organizations.
Right.
You know, so if you're writing a business book, get the CEO. If it's, you know, if it's a spiritual book, get, you know, a thought leader in the church, you know, because
mm-hmm.
Those people have followings and
yeah.
and people follow recommendations.
Definitely.
Now, the next one is it's a sort of a backwards idea in a way. Usually there's a moment when people are writing a proposal where there's something they want to sweep under the rug. It's the thing they haven't figured out. It's the controversy that makes them uncomfortable.
Mm-hmm.
I think that in a kick-butt book proposal, you
mm-hmm.
are not only prepared for the objection, but you raise it and you handle it. And if you sit and you think about why it makes you uncomfortable, that's probably exactly what you need to write about. I'll give you an example. I had a student in one of my courses a couple of years ago, and she was a teacher. And you know, in the United States, we have the separation of church and state. But she
Right.
really wanted to write a book about bringing spirituality into the classroom. And she was so afraid that she was going to be vilified by the Teachers Association and all the people who've really stood firmly on not bringing, you know, this political controversy into the classroom. But she was really she knew that she wanted to talk about the spiritual aspects of teaching that enable a teacher to be a good teacher.
Mm-hmm.
Qualities of goodness and so forth. And so I encouraged her to take it on and admit it. You know, we don't like to talk about this. This is why we don't talk, you know, and just put it in. So it kind of, you take the power back from the objection.
That's a great idea.
It's usually exactly where people do their learning. You know, most people write the book that they need to learn. Understanding your niche perfectly, and that goes back to that whole thing about the target audience. You need to know the habitat, the care, and the feeding of your reader. Building marketing into the structure of your book, meaning that when you write your chapters, you literally think about them from the point of view of the organizations that are in your target audience. So you can mention those organizations by name, or if there are people by name whose work you admire, who are perhaps people that you want to do some joint ventures with at some point. Or maybe even, I don't mean to do this in a cynical or a cheap way. Do not do it if it's not something you absolutely admire. But do it, you should always do business with organizations and people who share your values. And if you might end up being able to sell 1,000 copies of your book to an organization just by including them in your conversation that's going on in your book, you can build it right in.
Yeah.
And so And then there's one that I'm forgetting. I had it a second ago in my head. Oh. Well, anyway, the last one I had written it. No, it popped in, and I was talking, and I didn't jot it down. The last one is sort of the one that I began with, which is make your proposal a story where all the elements fit together, and so by after they've read the whole proposal, they understand the complete world of this book.
Definitely.
Who you are and how it works and so forth.
Yeah. And I'm going to interject a little bit here because I always get questions from authors who are writing novels, who are writing fiction, and they say, you know, well, most of the stuff you talk about seems to be pointed towards nonfiction writers.
Mm-hmm.
And that's because most of it is. But I worked for years with some of the best fiction authors in the country. And what made them the best fiction authors was because they were so smart business-wise. They didn't think of their fiction writing as just a book. They really thought of writing novels as a career. So when you look at folks like, what's that woman who's, her name is Janet. She's written, like, every book starts with a different letter. Like,
oh, Janet Ivanovich. Yeah,
Ivanovich. If you've ever heard her speak, she's very business-minded about how she runs her publishing career, her fiction career. And so, no, not everything that we're talking about here tonight is going to apply to you. You do not have to do chapter summaries for a fiction novel. I, as someone who worked in an agency, I never read them when authors did them. I just wanted the fiction, the manuscript right in front of me.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that you have to start thinking about how you're going to start positioning yourself differently, even as a fiction author, because the market is tight and you want to be able to stand out and you want your literary agent that you're going after or the publisher to know that you are not going to just give them this book and step away from the process, that you are involved in every step of the way. And so some of the elements that we're talking about tonight, like creating a marketing plan, thinking about who your target market is if you're writing the genre of fiction, those things are going to apply to you.
Yep.
So I just want to make that little aside there.
You know, and also I'm just going to answer the next question that's on our list. If you can skip the pieces, I actually think that some people can combine pieces. You could combine your author bio and your promotional activities. You could also combine the market with the promotion, because you're not trying to puff this up. You're really trying to just present a really clear, good, solid case.
Right.
Puffy proposals are a nightmare to read for an editor because if you lose them, you lose credibility. Then you lose your authority. And being an author is to have authority.
Usually they won't get past the agent that you're going after.
Well, that's the beauty of having an agent, is you get one more pair of eyes to fix it before it goes out.
Yeah. So how long does it take to prepare a proposal?
Well, I'll tell you something interesting. I don't think it has to take long at all. I think that if you literally set aside a day of writing for each of these pieces, you could probably do it in that amount of time. Now, the twist on that is that most people don't usually assign that amount of time for writing their proposal every day. And also, your thinking time is going to take time. The structure of your book is going to take more time than a day. For most people, unless you've been giving the same speech for 30 years, teaching the same workshop for 30 years, it's not going to be that easy. It doesn't have to be hard if you get out of your way, but you may need time to go do research and to noodle around. I'm a big believer in curiosity. I think most proposals, if you begin and you're very concerted, you can do it within 6 weeks. So you could, if you start now, you could be ready by September, which is a really good selling time.
Oh, it's the best time, actually, to sell a proposal, because everyone's looking to fill up their roster for the next publishing season. And I always not
they're
always.
They're back from vacation.
Yeah, they need something to do with themselves.
And they're fresh. They've rested. They've laid on the beach. They're ready.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, that was always the time when the phones were ringing off the hook.
Yeah,
you know, September and October. And
I want to give two more thoughts on that. One is, if you've ever heard the adage that all good writing is rewriting, I absolutely believe in that. So I would spill out your first draft and then fix and repair and remedy. Find out where the gaps are and then fill them. But get out everything you already know first. And I really encourage you to leave room for yourself to make some discoveries while you're writing. As you're thinking through the elements of the book proposal, you will find out things that you know that you didn't know that you know.
Okay.
And that's what makes writing a pleasure. You know,
right.
Anybody who's a writer should at some moment go into that deep well. It's a spiritual, creative place. It's where, you know, some creative energy is just flowing through you, and it's really delightful. You know, that's what keeps us
going. It can be. It can be. I agree with that totally. So do we need to hire an editor? And if so, when in the process do we hire one? And I guess, are you talking here about what one of the things that you do, you are a book doctor?
Mm-hmm.
So
there's two different kinds. There's two different kinds of editing. One is just simple proofreading, which is checking facts and figures and sources and making sure that all that stuff is accurate, and checking your grammar and typos. Very important that everything go very cleanly and professionally to anybody who's in this business, because they know that if it's messy and sloppy, it's more work for them, and they're not interested in that. If you get stuck structuring your book, or you've done one draft and you're not quite sure if this chapter should go first or that one should go second, or, you know, if you've balanced everything correctly, then hiring somebody like me who to do something called developmental editing is very, very helpful. And this is almost like a person who helps you think through your mission. It could be, so you might start with that person at the very beginning, then go do some writing, and then come back and see if you've achieved what you wanted. Or it could be a person who, when you're satisfied you've done everything you know how to do, you just go to them and you say, did I nail it? Did I get it right? Can you find anything I could do to improve this? It's worth taking the time, and I believe it's also worth the expense, because, you know, there are some good people who are very reasonably priced, and there are others who are more expensive. I'm not inexpensive to work with, but I've been in the business a long time, and I understand marketing, which is why. And then there are people who charge even more than me. But
right.
Yeah, it's like it's all over the park. But what you really want is intelligent feedback.
Right. I see it as an investment. I see it as if you are an author who this is not going to be, you know, you're not going to be a one-book wonder. It really is part of your business building strategy, and you're serious about building a publishing career. It is an investment.
Right.
And making sure that it's right the first time.
There's a phase in writing when you know you're not done, and having a critical reading would almost be so damaging to a sensitive process that you wouldn't just want anybody in the world to read it, but an editor that is on your side. An editor is on your side. It can feel painful at times, you know, because this is your mission. This is your creativity. It's very sacred trust. But I also believe that if you are a business person and you like a life coach or a consultant, and you have clients who have been working with you for a while and they know your material firsthand from their point of view, so you can only see it from your point of view. if you can give some pieces of your writing to the people, you know, close to you who know your work and get their feedback, you don't have to take it. You can get feedback and go, that person's nuts, I'm not doing that. But
right,
you may just get a couple of really good ideas, or even just a couple of, like, phrases or sections of chapters.
And I'll just make a suggestion. It's one of the things that I'm doing on the website. When you sign up, you get a very small, like, piece of a chapter from the book that I'm writing.
Mm.
And then I ask for feedback on it because I want to know, is this helpful for you? What else do you want to know about it? You know, and so I'm doing that because I am writing directly to my market, and I want to know what is it that they need from me.
Yep.
And I want it to sell.
Yep.
And so, you know, that's a strategy for anyone who's on the call who does have clients in a list and a website, and it's a way, as Stephanie said, to kind of test it.
Oh, yeah. And if you're doing a book that's like a diet program or something and you've never tried it out with anybody, for God's sake, put a group together and try it out. You know, stand up and give a workshop. See if your material is solid.
Give me a call. I'll go on the diet with you.
Try it out. Yeah. So a professional is really good for helping you with those tough structural questions. You know,
okay.
They can ask you good questions. Yeah.
So here's my favorite one. Do we need to hire a promotion strategist?
I really believe that we do. I think that so much falls on the shoulders of the author these days, and remaining ignorant of what is working to sell books and how best to target prospective book buyers really means that we're just wasting opportunities. Not every strategy works for every author, so a specialist who can guide you to pick the right strategies for you is going to shortcut your learning process. And, you know, I'm a big fan of coaching and consultants, and I think that we all need help when we're learning new skills. And promotion is a skill most of us are not astute in. You know, we need help. So that really saves you time and gets you closer to your dream, which is selling books and bringing in clients and customers from that book.
I agree. Sometimes it's one strategy that gets you in a different frame of mind and gets you selling your book differently. So yes, I think definitely speaking to someone whose specialty is promotion and marketing is important.
Mm-hmm.
So what do we do once we have the proposal?
Okay, so you have two choices. One is you have the option to find a literary agent who is going to be like your matchmaker with publishers, and the other is to approach editors at publishing houses directly. Now, I happen to be a believer that having an agent is a good idea because they know the players in the industry, and first of all, they can give you that editorial feedback that just amps it up a little bit more and tweaks it and makes it perfect and in the best shape possible. You get a kind of a seal of approval before you go out. But they also can get it into the hands of editors who are building lists inside the house. Like, each editor has their own specialization. And so, you know, if it's a cookbook, it goes to the cookbook editor. If it's a novel, it goes to the fiction editor. If it's health, it goes to the health editor, that type of thing. And then they also help you negotiate the contract, and they know what's gettable. So that can get you a little bit more money and better terms, better royalties and so forth.
Okay.
And most authors, just their eyes glaze over when they see those contracts. I just want to say, I know we're running a little over, so I hope you can indulge me for a second. But if you're going to approach publishers directly, you have to absolutely do it in a very business-like way. You need to send a letter first, and this is good with agents too. You send a letter basically giving them the information that's in your overview. You get their permission to send it, and then you send the whole proposal with the sample material. Otherwise, it ends up in what's called the slush pile, and all the editorial assistants sit at lunch and they go through it, and you don't get very far that way.
They pretend to go through it.
Well, most of the things that end up in the slush pile, you know, very rarely a great find is found there because most people who are professional know to do it the other way.
I think the only time that that can happen is if you're, I don't suggest authors go directly to the publisher. I think the only time that can happen if you're at a conference, you know how they have those large writer conferences?
And the
editors are just walking around and they're just looking for stuff, and then you can have like your 30 minutes set up with them. Like, then that's the time when you can do that. But I never suggest just kind of coldly sending them your proposal directly. That's where you do need to have a literary agent representing you.
But, you know, every so often somebody does and it works out perfectly. You know, there was one time I used to answer my own telephone, and sometimes authors would call and they were so surprised to get me on the phone, they thought they were going to get my assistant. And I'd say, "What's your book about?" And they'd stutter, I don't know, you know, kind of thing. And all I wanted to know was, like, it's fiction, it's nonfiction, it's health, it's spiritual, it's this, it's that, you know. And then I would say to them, "Yeah, that interests me." "No, it doesn't interest me." You know, very simple. You know, but one time this woman called me up and she said, "I'm a writer. I've written a couple of books before. My husband is a very famous heart surgeon, and I realized that I wanted to write a book on what happens, you know, the health expectations we can have when we turn 55, and I can get access to all the top physicians in the country." And I said, "Wow, that sounds fantastic. It's perfect for my list. Send it over to me." She faxed it to me. This was before I had a computer with internet access.
Mm-hmm.
I ran down the hall to the publisher, and she said, "Does she have an agent?" I said, "No." And she said, "We'll get, like, offer her this." And I did. And then I left that company, and I remained friends with this author. And she called me up, and she said, "If I'd had an agent, what would have been different?" I said, "You would have gotten $5,000 more." And that's it. Which actually wouldn't have been that much of a difference. But she got a contract in a day.
Mm-hmm.
And that was because she got me, and I knew what I wanted.
Right.
And I wasn't sitting there going, "Man, I'm too busy. I don't want authors." I was sitting there thinking, "Boy, I'd love to have a good book."
Yeah, yeah.
You know, publishers are on your side. Literary agents are on your side. This is how everybody makes their money.
Yeah.
You know, so you're the answer to their prayers. If you do it right.
Right, but you have to come correct. You have to approach them in the correct way. So I'm excited about this because I really want you to tell us about your proposal writing audio program.
Okay, and I want to just say that I'm going to make a deal for the people who've been on this call and for anybody who gets your newsletter or however you communicate with people.
Mm-hmm.
If Tanisha has a link, and if you use that link on the landing page for this program, you can get a $50 discount off of it if you buy it before August 1st. It's my midsummer sale, and just for Tanisha's clients, if you use the code word, or words actually, book savvy, and she'll put that in the email too. This package, I think, is really terrific. It covers everything that we've been talking about tonight, but in more detail. And it has four exclusive one-hour-long recordings that come to you downloadable in an MP3 file. So right after you purchase it, you go to the download page, and you can get it immediately. It has proven strategies for describing books and book marketing plans to publishers. It includes real examples of proposals I've written that have sold to publishers. And so you can see a couple of different styles and formats and specific examples of the principles that I teach.
It's very important.
The first session is studying the marketplace and competition and honing your unique book concept. That's your hook. Session two is the author bio and promotional activities. Session three is how to outline and refine the outline of your book. And session four is your summary and your samples. And there are complete transcripts of each session in PDF format. There are electronic companion workbooks that go with the sessions. and that includes those samples that I was talking about, plus some exercises for how to generate the material that are helpful. And then there's some bonus tracks, which you can see on that website. I'm not even going to talk about them now. But, you know, one of them is on persuasion, one is on branding, one is on journaling to overcome creative blocks, and one is from Plan TV Arts Chief Marketing Officer Brian Feinblum, which is How to Get Your Book Jumping Off the Shelves, which is a great adjunct to what Tanisha teaches, by the way. I really think that the more you know, the better you can do. And, you know, I put that material together. It's normally $297, which actually I still think is a real bargain. And now it's going to be $247 for Tanisha's clients. So,
I just want to interject here because this is a product that I'm buying because I really want to keep myself on track with my proposal. But I think, you know, you know, being a little modest, this is really a great program that you've put together here. Just the bonuses alone that are with experts who are the best at what they do. I see Kim Castle, who is the branding expert here. And Sandy Grayson has, she's really great because she talks about how to get those all-important testimonials and especially how to get past your creative blocks when you're talking, you know, when you're writing. And Brian Feinblum, I know, you know, he, along with Rick Frischman, they had the top book publicity agency in the country. So it really is your soup to nuts. And if you guys go to booksavvymedia.com/bookproposalblueprint, it should take you right there. I'll send the link out after the call for everyone, but I'll say it again. It's booksavvymedia.com/bookproposalblueprint. And I think that, you know, look, 6 weeks and you're done.
And that's really doable. I'm helping two clients right now with proposals that we're going to have done by September 1st.
And you're done. You know, you have it in the hands of an agent and it's awesome.
Exactly. You're done at least to the level where you can start getting really solid feedback and, you know, you might continue to want to improve it past that point. Maybe writing your materials will take you a little longer, but you could be, there's no reason not to be. You can write it quick.
Right. At the very least, they could have a blueprint of something to look at and
oh my God, yeah.
And rewrite. And so, I think that it's worth the investment. A lot of people, you know, I can do this myself. I'll just go to Barnes and Noble and buy a lot of different books. And I don't think that
Books don't have the sample proposals in them. That was the thing that I really wanted to give to people.
And I find that important. Because I've worked in an agency, I've seen what proposals are like. So I still find that very helpful to have the sample in front of me. And so that alone is it's a very important part of the program to have. And just the fact that Stephanie takes you more in depth throughout each step. So all the questions that you guys have, and we're going to get to about two or three of the questions in a minute. She's really going to take you step by step through everything that you have to do. And in 6 weeks, you have a blueprint of something that you can flesh out more, that you can start, pitching to people. If you're already self-published, you don't even have to put that much work into it because you already have the book. And now say you want to take that book and you've had some success with it as a self-published author and you want to take it to a literary agent or, you know, you want to take it to a publisher. So it's even easier for you because you already have it laid out.
That's right.
Don't you think so? Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
It's you've already done the hard part.
Yeah.
You've structured it.
So I'll say it one more time for you guys. It's booksavvymedia.com/bookproposalblueprint. And Stephanie, I want to get to about two questions.
Cool.
And the first question is from Iana I hope I'm saying it right, I-A-N-A from Sedona. And she says, what is the best way to communicate a spiritual-based book to a publisher through a proposal? What should I definitely include in the proposal to let a publisher know that I have written what I know is based upon a lifelong career? And I know that, Iana, it's a question that's going to take, you know, longer than the 3 minutes that we have. And I'm going to let Stephanie try to answer as quickly as she can. But this is really your specialty, Stephanie, dealing with spiritual-based books.
Yes. Well, you know, spiritual is a broad category, actually.
Right.
So it's hard to give a very specific answer without knowing what category of spirituality it's in. That could
right.
be anything from religion to a channeled book or a healing book or book of meditations or anything like that. I find that a lot of spiritual authors are spiritual teachers, and they have businesses where they have clients and they do workshops. And there actually is such a strong interest in that category now that all the elements of a nonfiction book proposal entirely apply to a spiritual book.
Right, right. And so I think that also if you follow the steps that were outlined here tonight and that are outlined in the program, then you will know where you need to talk about certain things in your proposal, where you need to let them know what your background is. So that part of your lifelong career, that could be placed in your author biography.
And also you can certainly go look at the in Barnes & Noble on the shelves and see how all of those books are being presented to the consumer. Look at the covers. Look at the language that's on the covers. Look at who's giving endorsements. Go to the websites of authors who are good role models for your type of book and see what those authors are doing to make their book successful. I would say imitate, copy, emulate, adapt from successful people, not from unsuccessful people. Find out what speaks to you the most and then communicate in that language.
Great. So the next question is from Natasha. Wouldn't a developmental editor need to be niche specific? If so, where can I find a list of these professionals? So does your book doctor need to be, specialized in the niche that you're writing in?
Actually, that's a very good question. And I think that finding somebody who has an affinity for your material is very important. A good editor should be a good editor, should be a good editor. There are certain things about written material that hold true no matter what the subject matter is. But if you're writing like an economics textbook and you're talking to an editor who can't do any math at the simple level, that person's not really going to get the subtleties of what you're talking about.
Right.
Where do you find a list of editors? I am very adept on the Internet. Some people are not as adept as I am. But sometimes literally just putting into the search bar the qualifications that you want will get you a person. Some of my best clients were people, by best I mean their books are now the lead titles on the lists at New World Library, Hay House, whatever, were people who came to me very randomly because they just searched the name of one of my past clients. Or there are organizations. You can go to writers' conferences and meet people and get recommendations. Talk to other writers. I think there's it's an interesting thing. Because there's not really a catalog in the same way there are of in-house professionals.
But I think it's exactly what you said. Just Google. Google is your friend. Get on there, and you can put in whatever niche plus editor or a niche plus developmental editor or a niche plus book doctor. Just search it down until you find the person.
Go to sites. Yeah, go to sites online that are targeted to writers, to authors, and a lot of the editors advertise there.
You can go to Publishers Lunch.
Ah, that's good. Yes.
So you can go there and look for editors. So the last question that I have, is a cover letter included in the body of the proposal?
No.
Okay.
A cover letter is it's where you say basically three things. You say, "Hi, I'm seeking representation. I'm wondering if you're interested in my book, which is about," and then you say a very short description of what it is, who it's for, right, why it's needed, who you are. May I send you my proposal? Usually the title and the subtitle communicate an awful lot just at the very beginning. And because you're presumably sending this letter not randomly to people you haven't done any research on, you already know why you've chosen this person, and it's okay to communicate that, because I'm very impressed that you handled a certain person whose work I admire and mine is in line with, and you don't suck up to anybody. This should all, it should all be true. Like, aspire to be genuine.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah. So that seems to be all that we have for the question tonight. Stephanie, thank you so much.
This You're most welcome.
Very, yeah, this is very informative. I think everyone got a lot out of it. You gave just a lot of really great content. I know that you guys want to go deeper and get more information, and that's what the audio program is for. I encourage you to visit booksavvymedia.com/bookproposalblueprint and get a copy for yourself. I'm getting a copy for myself. I'm
delighted to
myself.
Hear that. You're saying such kind things. I'm always over here going, wow, you know, that's nice to hear. You know, I want to be helpful. And if anybody has another question, they can also email me at contact@stephaniegunning.com. I'd be happy to do what I can to answer questions.
Oh, definitely. And I'd love to have you on some other calls in the future and discuss some other aspects of book publishing for everyone on the list. And so this was really great. We appreciate you being here. And I want to say thank you to you, and thank you to everyone who stayed on the call. I know we went over a little bit more than the hour that I promised, but I think that you guys got a lot out of it. And so thank you for being on the call, for asking questions, and just for hanging out with the both of us tonight. And
that's kind of what we're doing here.
Yeah, we're kind of hanging out. And so everyone have a great night, and I look forward to getting your feedback about the call, and to, if you guys have any more questions for me, just send them to Tanisha@booksavvymedia.com, and I'll get back to you. Okay? Thank you very much. Have a good night.
Thanks. It was a blast. Bye.
Good night.